And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a king wearing a magnificent crown."
No, Dad, that's not it.
Oh, really? Let me try it again. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a powerful, well-trained soldier."
No, Dad, you did it again. That's not right.
Okay, how about this? "And this will be a sign for you. You will find a democratically elected president."
What? No.
"A trendy motivational speaker."
No way.
"A big tech CEO." "A movie star." "Time traveling cyborg."
No, no, none of those are right. The shepherds weren't going to find any of those.
Okay then, little Miss Know-It-All. What did they find?
"For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger."
Oh, that's right, a baby. Does that even make sense? A baby is totally helpless.
Yeah, but if Jesus didn't come as a baby, then he would have known what it was like to grow up.
Ah, but wait, why did he have to grow up?
That's easy. To save us.
Ah, well then that means that the best part about Christmas is...
the baby.
Right, the baby. Oh, well, I guess it's time you get some sleep. We got a big day ahead of us tomorrow.
No, we're not done with the story.
Okay, just a little longer. "And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is.'"
All right. Well, hey, Merry Christmas. It's great to see all of you who are in the room. Of course, if you're joining us on live stream, we just want to say Merry Christmas to you as well. And hey, before we jump into today's message, can I ask you just to do me a big favor? Can I have you stand up? Go ahead and stand up. And can you find three people around you and say, "Merry Christmas, I'm glad that you're here"? So I want you to find somebody, maybe shake a hand, and Merry Christmas, greet somebody, say hello. That's great. Wonderful. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And once you've greeted three people, you can go ahead and find your seat again. And let me just say to you let me take my turn. Let me say to you, Merry Christmas. I'm glad that you're here. And I really am glad that you're here. And for some of you, you're already part of the Medina East Campus Grace Church family. And it's always good to see you. And it's so wonderful to celebrate Christmas with you. For some of you, though, this is your first time at Grace. Maybe you've never been here before. And so maybe you were invited by a friend or you were invited by a family member. Or maybe this is just kind of part of your annual Christmas tradition, is to come to church on Christmas Eve. But regardless of how you got here, I just want to say I'm really glad that you're here. And just thank you for making this part of your holiday plans. Because I know that that for many of us, if not all of us, right now we are either in the midst of, or maybe we are ramping up for, all the Christmas things. And so a lot of you are looking forward to the family gatherings and the food and then opening the presents tomorrow morning or whatever it is that you open those. And so there's a lot of things you're looking forward to. So I just want to say thank you for making this kind of part of your Christmas celebration, to come and to be with us in this service. And I got to tell you, for me personally, I genuinely look forward to these services every year. And part of the reason I look forward to it is because this is just kind of a dedicated space where we can just kind of together really just kind of focus on the birth of Jesus. We can kind of reflect on the birth of Christ, which I think all of us would know this, that for those of us who follow Christ, and for many people throughout history, this right here, right, the birth of Jesus, the nativity scene, This is like the main event, right? This is what Christmas is really all about, kind of the heartbeat of Christmas. And so I'm so thankful that in the midst of all the Christmas celebrations that we have a spot to just kind of reflect on the birth of Jesus. Because I think what could happen, I think many of us have experienced this before, is that sometimes it's actually kind of easy to go through the Christmas season and to sort of miss the main event. You know what I mean? Like it's easy to kind of go through Christmas and get caught up in all the other things that sometimes we can kind of miss the opportunity to think about the significance and the importance of the birth of Jesus. And I think for a lot of us, honestly, that happens not because we don't care. I think a lot of us really do care. We care about this. But I think what happens is, honestly, is things just get kind of cluttered. Christmas can get kind of cluttered. And so I think that through the holidays and through the celebrations and through tradition, quite honestly, over the years, we've kind of added a lot of things to this, right? This is kind of the heartbeat, but we've added a lot of things. And so for example, I think many of us would say, yeah, man, you know, the Christmas is about the birth of Jesus. But at the same time, we would say, but you know, Christmas also, it wouldn't be the same without the decorations. And so we get the Christmas tree and we get the Christmas lights and we kind of add that to the Christmas experience. We're like, yeah, it's about, you know, Jesus, but there's the decoration. And then I think for many of us, we're like, yeah. And then another part of our Christmas traditions and our Christmas celebration is, you know, it wouldn't be Christmas if you didn't have the presents. And so the giving and the receiving of gifts, that becomes a really important part of Christmas. And so we kind of add that to the Christmas scene. And so Christmas becomes about all these things. Of course, once you get the presents, this guy usually comes along and gets involved too. And so he enters into the nativity scene. And so now you kind of have more going on. And then on top of all of this, we also have our own personal family Christmas traditions. And so for that, I just brought a pair of pajamas to represent that. I know there's a good amount of people that will do like Christmas jammies. Any of you guys do Christmas jammies? I'm just curious. Okay, some of you guys, yeah, shout out for Christmas jammies. So that kind of gets thrown into this too. It becomes part of our Christmas celebration. And then, man, I don't know about you, but one of my favorite parts of the Christmas season is it's the Christmas movies, right? So you gotta have the movies. So I brought some classics. You got Elf. That's one of my favorites of them all. Christmas Story, it's good. So that becomes part of our Christmas experience too. We kind of put that in there. And then, of course, on top of that, you also have to have the music. The Christmas music, and it's not Christmas unless Mariah Carey's singing her famous song. And I got no shame to admit, this CD belongs to me. And this is good, so guys, that's part of our Christmas experience too. And then on top of that, you gotta have the food. It would not be Christmas without the food. And so I bought a ham, a whole ham. And so that's gonna kind of get, you know, we'll put this right here, that's where that goes. And then man, you got all of this, and then on top of all of this, we also have the family. The family celebrations, the family gatherings. And so I brought a giant bottle of ibuprofen to represent that, right? And I could add more to this, but here's what I think we all know, is after a while, what can happen is Christmas can start to look like this, right? Christmas can get really busy, can get really cluttered. And sometimes what happens is the main thing can kind of get buried in the midst of the Christmas season. And so what I'm hoping that we can do in this time together, what I want to invite you to do in this time and even in your heart, is today I just want to do this. In this service that we have, I want to take the opportunity to take Jesus, and I just want to set him apart. I just want to invite you, would you just set him apart from everything else in the midst of the holiday stuff? And I'm not saying these are bad things, and I'm not saying we should leave these things behind. These are great. I hope you enjoy all of these things, but I just don't want you to miss the main thing. I don't want you to miss what Christmas is really all about. And so in this time, what I want to invite you to do is just in the spotlight of your heart, in the spotlight of your mind, to put Christ in that spotlight, to put Jesus kind of in the center. Because here's the thing. The birth of this child is, I mean, maybe one of the most significant events that has happened in all of human history. Regardless of what you believe about Jesus, and I know there's different people who believe different things. Maybe you're investigating Jesus. But regardless of what you believe about Jesus, I don't think anyone would dispute that this child would absolutely change the world. H.G. Wells, some of you are familiar with his name. He's a very famous author and also a famous historian. And he once was recorded as saying this about Jesus. He said, "I am a historian. I am not a believer." So he's someone who studied history. And he says, "But I must confess that as a historian, that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history. H.G. Wells, as a historian, looks at the pages of history and he says, this Jesus is the most dominant figure in all of human history. And so I believe at the birth of Jesus, it demands our attention. Or at least for some of us, it demands our consideration. At some point, we got to ask the question, who was this child? Who is this child? And why was he so significant? And why is it that 2,000 years after the original Christmas that so many of us that are in this room, we don't just adore this child. We don't just adore Jesus. We worship him. How is that to be? It's fascinating. When you look to what the Bible teaches about the birth of Christ, you're going to see that the biblical authors actually describe the significance of the birth of Jesus in a number of different ways. And so sometimes when the biblical authors talk about the birth of Jesus, they describe Christmas as the arrival of a Savior. And they'll say that Christmas is the arrival of a Savior, that part of what makes Jesus so special, part of what makes this child so special, is that he actually came to save us, that he was sent as a rescuer from God to save us from our sins, our greatest problem that we see within ourselves and that we see within our world. Sometimes when the biblical authors talk about the arrival of Christ, they'll talk about Christmas as the arrival of a great light. So Isaiah chapter 9 says, those living in darkness have seen a great light. The Bible's going to explain that part of the reason this child is so significant is because this is the arrival of the light of the world, that Jesus came to illuminate. He came to open our eyes and to clarify who God is and what God is like and how do we have a relationship with him. And sometimes, other times in the Bible, when they talk about the birth of Jesus, they're going to describe Christmas as the arrival of Emmanuel. And of course, you guys know Emmanuel means God with us. And so the biblical authors are going to say, part of the reason Christmas is so significant is because this isn't just any child, that this is actually God himself, that God has come to us in the flesh. This is what we call the mystery and the wonder of the incarnation. Somehow, that the creator of the universe entered into his creation. But you're going to see, there are all kinds of layers of meaning that the Bible are going to use to describe the birth of this child. But there's one aspect of Christmas that I actually want to ask you to think about with me here today. It's one that you're probably familiar with, but I don't know if maybe you fully thought through maybe the implications of what this means. But here's what I want to look at today. Yes, the Bible's going to say Christmas is the arrival of a Savior. Yes, Christmas is the arrival of the light of the world. Yes, Christmas is the arrival of Emmanuel. But one of the central themes that you're going to see is the Bible's going to tell us that Christmas is also the arrival of a king. That part of what makes this baby so special is that he actually came to be a king, and not just any king, not just any king. The Bible's actually going to go on to say that he is the king of all kings, that he's not just another king, he's the king of all of them, that he is the Lord of lords. One of the central claims about Christmas is that Christmas is the arrival of a king. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. Did you ever notice the royal language that we use when we describe the birth of Christ? I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but let me just give you a couple examples. Think about, for example, the songs that we sing, some of the most famous Christmas songs. So what is this one? Noel, right? We all know Noel. So we sing, Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel. Or what about this one? Joy to the world, right? Joy to the world, da, 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 da. Let earth receive her King. And you guys can see why I'm not on the worship team at all right now, right? But you hear it, right? King. And then, or what about this one, right? We sing this. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. We just sang that a second ago. And I could give you example after example that in the songs that we sing, did you ever notice this? That at Christmas, we are talking about the arrival of a king. He's the king. And this royal language is not just in the songs that we sing. It's actually right there in the Bible. Fascinating, if you've ever read the accounts of the birth of Christ in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 1, which is the first book of the New Testament, in chapter 1, how does Matthew start his Christmas story? Well, interestingly, he actually starts with the genealogy of Jesus Christ, which many of us skip right past because it's just boring for us to read. But if you look carefully at the genealogy, if you look very carefully, you'll actually see it's not just any genealogy. It's a royal genealogy. Matthew is trying to tell us the royal lineage of Jesus, that this Jesus came to be a king. And then in Matthew chapter 2, some of you might remember, the Magi from the east come, the wise men, and they're searching out for the baby, following the star to find the baby. And do you remember the question they ask King Herod when they're looking for the baby? They ask this question: where is the one who has been born king? They knew that this Jesus came to be a king. He came to be a king. And then you get to Luke chapters 1 and 2. And Luke is maybe the most famous Christmas story of them all, the most famous Christmas account. It was the one that was being read in the video that we just watched. Many of us are familiar with that. But if you read Luke's Christmas account, I want you to notice something that maybe you've never seen before. I want you to notice what the angels say about this child. The angels come and they proclaim and they announce the birth of Jesus. And here's what they say. So in Luke chapter 1, the angel Gabriel comes to Mary before the whole Christmas thing happens. And this is what he says to her. He says, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he's going to reign over Jacob's descendants. His kingdom will never end." Do you guys see this? Do you see what the angel Gabriel, the angel who has insider information from heaven about who this child is. Here's what he says. He says, this child is not just any child. This child is going to be a king. This child is going to sit on a throne. This child is going to have a kingdom that never ends. And then what you're going to see is just a chapter after this in Luke chapter 2. The Bible is going to say that after Jesus is born, the angel of the Lord comes to the shepherds who are watching their flocks by night. And you guys might remember this, that the angels show up, and the shepherds are terrified, as one would be if you saw an angel. But do you remember what the angel says? Here's what the angel says. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger." Do you see what the angel just said? The angel said, "Hey, this baby is not just any baby." He says, this baby is the Savior. And this baby is the Messiah. And this baby is the Lord. The angel stacks these titles to tell us the significance of this child. He says, first off, he's the Savior, which means what? Capital S, Savior. He is the promised one that God has promised through the entire Old Testament who would come and save his people. He's the Messiah. What's Messiah mean? Messiah literally just means he's the anointed one. He is anointed by God to save. But then interestingly, look at what he says, the last thing. He says, he's the Lord. He's the Lord. Now, this word is such an important word. The word Lord is not a name. It's actually a title. And it's not just a title. It's actually a royal title. In the Greek language, so the New Testament is written in Greek. And in the original Greek language, the word Lord is actually the word Kyrios. And what it means is it means master, it means sovereign ruler, it means commander. It was a word that meant king. It meant king. And so the point I'm trying to drive at is this, and I hope that it's very, very clear. And all I'm trying to point out is that at the heart of Christmas is the arrival of a king. At the very heart of Christmas is the arrival of a king. And here's what I believe, you guys. I believe that, honestly, that we can't really fully understand Christmas. And I believe that, honestly, we can't really fully understand Jesus apart from the fact that Jesus came to be a king. This baby came to be a king. And so there's two questions in light of this that I want to ask you to consider with me just here the rest of the time that we have. So here they are. Two questions I want you to consider in light of this. So if Jesus came to be a king, if at the very heart of Christmas is that Jesus came to be a king, how do you respond to a king? I just want you to consider this. I just want you to do a little math with me on this. How do you respond to a king? And then the second question is very personal. Have you responded to Jesus as king? So the first question is just, how do you respond to a king? Now, I think this is actually a really important question because here's what I believe. I believe that how you see Jesus has a direct impact on how you respond to Jesus. The truth is, I think there's a lot of people, many of us even, who would say that, yes, we admire Jesus and we respect Jesus. I think many people would say that. Not all people, but I think many people would say that. I think a lot of people would look at Jesus and we'd say, man, we respect his life. We looked at how he cared for the poor. We looked at how he loved people. We look at how he forgave people and we respect it. I think a lot of us look at Jesus' teaching and we admire his teaching. We know that Jesus taught about forgiving one another. He taught us to love our enemy. He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves. And I think a lot of people would respect and admire Jesus, right? But here's the crazy thing. I don't know if you've ever done this before. If you've ever looked carefully at what Jesus actually taught, do you know what Jesus taught about more than anything else? I thought this was really interesting. There was a Bible scholar, and he actually went through all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and he looked at all of the teaching of Jesus, and he tried to identify what are the top 50 subjects that Jesus taught on. Basically, he said, what does Jesus talk about the most? What does he dedicate the most words and the most airtime to in his teaching? So he compiled this list. Can I just show you a few of these things? Now, I'm not going to show you all 50 because we'd be here for a long time, but let me just show you a few of them, okay? So number 44 on the list, Jesus talked about peace. That's probably no surprise to you. We all know Jesus talked about peace. He actually talked about peace a lot. And so on 12 different occasions, 12 times, Jesus was talking about the importance of peace. Number 32 on the list was salvation. Number 31 on the list was forgiveness. Number 19 on the list was prayer. Number 9 on the list was love. Jesus talked a whole lot about love. 25 times on 25 occasions, he talked about loving God and loving other people. Jesus talked about love. Now, here's the thing. My guess is none of this surprises you, right? We're like, well, yeah, you know, I knew Jesus talked about those things, you know, whatever. What might surprise you, though, is what he actually talked the most about. You know what Jesus talked the most about? This might surprise you. Number 4 on the list is money. Jesus talked a whole lot about money. I mean, here's my theory. My theory is the reason is because Jesus knew that money is one of the top competitors of our hearts and of our faith. I think that's why. Number 3 on the list was faith. Number 2 on the list was God the Father. Do you know the number one thing that Jesus talked about more than anything else? Number 1, his kingdom. Man, I'm telling you, if you read the Gospels, you can't miss it. He's always talked about his kingdom almost twice as much as he talked about any other topic that we think about when we think about Jesus. And this is why I'm saying I don't think that you and I can rightly understand Jesus in his own terms without understanding him as a king. He is a king who came to bring a kingdom. He is a king who came to bring a kingdom. And some of you might be saying, what does that even mean, though? Like, what does it mean to be part of Jesus's kingdom? The kingdom of God is he calls it. What does it mean to be part of his kingdom? Well, let me just put it as simply as I know how to put it to you. I think that this, that to belong to Jesus' kingdom means that Jesus is your king. That's what it means. What does it mean to be in his kingdom? Here's what it means. It means to receive Jesus, not just as a savior, which he is, not just as a good teacher, which he is, not just as a good example, which he is, but to receive him as your king. See, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Jesus is not so much a place, it's a person. It's the person of Christ. It's when you say that he is your king. Did you know that there are 256 different names and titles that are given to Jesus in the New Testament? That's a lot, 256. But do you know what the number one title that is given to Jesus more than any other, over 600 times? Jesus' disciples, the writers of the Bible, the apostles, they're going to call Jesus more than anything else. They're going to call him the Lord. They're going to call him King. They're going to call him Kyrios. They're going to say, Jesus, yes, he's my Savior. Yes, he's a good teacher. But he is the Lord. Not just the Lord. He is the Lord of lords, and he is the King of kings. Because my hope is maybe this brings some clarity to us on how maybe God wants us to respond to Jesus. Because here's the thing, if Jesus was just a good teacher, I think many of us would say he was a good teacher. How do you respond to a good teacher? You respond to a good teacher by giving them your attention. That's how you respond. You give them your consideration. You consider their thoughts. You listen to their words. You read the things that they wrote. That's how you respond to a good teacher. How do you respond to a good person? You respond to a good person by giving them your admiration. You respect that in the same way that we would admire and respect a Mother Teresa. That's how you respond to a good person. And I think for many of us, maybe for some of us, that's how we think about Jesus. We admire him. We respect him. But here's the real question. If he truly is who he said he is, if he truly is a king, how do you respond to a king? And here's the answer. You respond to a good king by giving him your allegiance. That's how you respond to a king. Maybe a way to try to illustrate what I'm saying. One of my go-to gifts at Christmas is a gift card. I love to give gift cards. I love to get gift cards. I think they're great gifts. And we all know how gift cards work, right? It's real simple. Gift cards are a limited amount to a limited location. That's how a gift card works. And so let's just, let's say, for example, this Christmas that, I don't know, just hypothetically, let's just say that you got me a gift card this Christmas. This is hypothetical, all right? Let's just say, hypothetically, it was a $25 gift card to Chick-fil-A, which is not a bad idea. I'm just putting it out there, all right? So let's just say you did. I'm kidding with you. But let's say that you gave that to me, all right? We all know how a gift card works. That would be a kind gift, but it is a limited amount to a limited location. So I couldn't take that gift card and try to go to Culver's and buy something. It wouldn't work. I couldn't go to Target and try to buy something. It's not how it works. I also couldn't go to Chick-fil-A and I couldn't buy everything on the menu because it's a limited amount to a limited location. Now, here's why I bring that up. I think that a gift card's a great gift for a friend or a family member, but I think sometimes what can happen with Jesus is for some of us, when we approach him, we'll give Jesus, because we respect him and we admire him, we will give him a gift card to our life. And so we'll say, God, I will give you limited access to limited parts of my life. So I'm gonna give you limited access to a limited amount of space in my life. And so yeah, there's things that you teach about, and you talk about loving your neighbor, and I really like that, and so I'm gonna apply that to my life. But some of the stuff that you talk about forgiving your enemy, some of the things that you talk about bitterness, and listen, I'm gonna block you out of that part of my life. What happens sometimes with Jesus is we kind of approach him that way. We give him a limited amount to a limited location of our life. Here's all I'm trying to get at. As if Jesus is if he's a teacher, you can do that. If he's a good person, you can do that. But if he's a king, how do you respond to a king? The only proper response to a king is you don't give a king a gift card, you give a king a blank check. Because to receive Jesus as king means that you're inviting a new regime. It means that you're saying, my life is under new management. I'm saying that there is a king. And so here's the second question that I'll ask you today. And this is a very personal question, but it's just this. Have you responded to Jesus this way? Have you responded to Jesus as the king? Not just as the savior of your life, which he is. And not just as a teacher, which he is a good teacher. But have you responded to him as the king? Billy Graham, very famous evangelist, he once said, you may say, I believe in Christ. But have you made him king of your heart? Does he have complete rule of your life? You may believe in God and you might go to church, but have you surrendered your will to him? Do you know Jesus as king? I think what Billy Graham is getting at is the heart of what Christmas is inviting us to ask and how to respond to Jesus. Can I just say that for those of us who follow Jesus, many of us are Christ followers in this room already. For those of us who follow Jesus, I think this is the question we need to ask ourselves every single day. Is Jesus my king? Not just is he my savior, not just have I prayed that he would forgive me of my sins so that I could live my life however I want and then catch up with God in heaven. The question we have to ask ourselves every day is he my king? Is he the king of my calendar? Is he the king of my heart? Is he the king of my marriage? Is he the king of my relationships? Is there anything that I'm holding back from him? Because to follow Jesus means to receive him as the king. And listen, I think the invitation for all of us in this room that Christmas gives to us is this. It's not just would you receive Jesus as your savior, which he is, but would you receive Jesus as your king? Would you receive him as your king? Because here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe this and I've experienced this in my own life. He is such a good king. He's so good. I just want you to consider with me what kind of king this king is. He is a king like the earth has never seen. He is a king like no other. Consider that this king came in such humility. Yes, he is the King of Kings and he is the Lord of Lords. Make no doubt about it. He is the most powerful of all the kings, but look at how he came. Look at the meekness. Look at the humility. He never occupied an earthly throne. He never sat in an opulent palace. He was born in a manger. He made himself accessible to the lowliest of people. Look at this king. What kind of king is this? Think about this king. This is a king who said about himself, I didn't come to be served. I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. This is a king who didn't demand that his followers would give their life for him, but instead he gave his life for his subjects. This is a king who loves you. This is a king that your heart was created for, because this is the king who created you. He loves you. He died for you. And he rose from the dead, not just to be your teacher, not just to be your example, but to be your king. He wants to lead you. So the question is this: is he your king? Is Jesus your king? Today, will you set apart Jesus? Will you set him apart, not just as a teacher, not just as a savior, which he's those things, but would you set him apart? As Peter says, the apostle Peter says, will you set him apart as the Lord? He is Lord, he is king in my life. Listen, for some of you, you've done that. You've received Christ as your king. For some of you, maybe you've never done that before. You've never received Jesus Christ as the king of your life. Listen, I want to give you the opportunity to accept that invitation today, because that is the invitation of Christmas. I believe it's to receive Christ as your king. And listen, I know for some of you, like, this is all new information, and you're like, look, man, this is a lot to take in. And I get it. I'm not trying to pressure you. So if you're someone who's investigating Jesus, I'm just really thankful that you're here. And we just want to be clear about who Jesus says that he is. But for some of you that are here right now, my guess is that there might be some of you that right now, you have never received Jesus as your king, but you're ready to do that. You're ready. And listen, maybe you're someone, you've never received Jesus as king. You've been investigating Christ. Maybe you've been coming to church here for a little while. Maybe you've been reading on your own, or you've been watching videos about God on your own. And listen, you know enough, and you believe enough, and you've experienced enough that you're like, I believe that this is true, and I am ready. I am ready to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I am ready to make him the king. Honestly, for some of you, maybe before you even came here tonight, I mean, God was already working in your life. The circumstances of your life, you're like, man, I just feel like God is trying to get my attention. I just feel like, God, I've had so many conversations with people. I've been reading so many things. I feel like God is really getting my attention right now. Could I maybe just suggest to you that maybe the reason that God is trying to get your attention is because he wanted to bring you to this moment right here. And he wanted you to come to him. And he wanted you to receive him as a king, as the king of your life. So some of you, you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as king. And you might be asking, okay, well, how do I do that? How do I do that? Well, let me show you what the Bible says. The Bible says this: if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord — you remember what Lord means? It means that he's a king. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is not just a savior, not just a teacher, he's the Lord. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the promise. God is inviting you to come to him. But he says, but when you come to me as Lord. Come to me as the Lord. And for some of you right now, you've never received Jesus as your king. And you're like, how do I do that? Do you believe it? Do you believe in your heart? Do you believe in your heart that he is Lord? Do you believe that God raised him from the dead? Do you believe that he is who he said he is? And some of you are like, I do believe it. I do believe it. I do believe it. Okay, well, have you received it? And you're like, well, how do I receive it? Well, let me show you what the Bible says. Declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Some of you are like, what does that mean? Well, let me clear it up. In the Greek, when it says declare with your mouth, here's what it literally means. Declare with your mouth. That's what it means. It means this: say it. Like literally, like audibly, like out loud, say it. This is not just an inward, quiet belief of my heart. This is an outward declaration of faith. I believe that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. So here's what I want to ask you to do. If you're someone who's ready, you've never received Jesus as king, and you're ready to do that today, I actually want to ask you to do something kind of bold with me here, all right? And what I'm going to ask you to do is, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity, and I want you to out loud, literally, audibly, say with me, declare with your lips that Jesus is Lord. I want you to say that, because this is what the Bible says. If you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's the invitation of Christmas. So here's what we're going to do. I want to ask everyone, if you would please, if you close your eyes and you bow your heads just in this moment right now. And I'm talking specific. Some of you have already received Christ, so I'm not talking to you right now. I'm talking to those who maybe have never embraced Jesus as King. If you're ready to do that, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, without hesitation, I want to ask you, would you look straight up at me when I get to three? And would you just say with your lips, declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. If you believe it in your heart, if you believe that Jesus is who he said he is, and you're ready to say, man, no, Jesus, I am done being the king of my own life. I want you to be the king. If you're ready for that, I want you to say with me on the count of three. I want you to look right up here and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. You say it with me once, Jesus is Lord. And before I count, I know that for some of you right now, your heart is beating. And the reason it's beating is because you know that you're ready, but you're nervous. You're scared of what people are going to think. You're scared of what the people around you are going to think, your friends and your family. And let someone encourage you, please don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. I don't want you to miss the opportunity to accept the invitation if you are ready, the invitation that Christmas extends to us to receive Christ as King. So if you're ready, I'm going to count to three. Without hesitation, I want you to look right at me if you've never received Christ as King and say, Jesus is Lord. Here we go. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and I see you. I see your eyes. I hear your voice. I praise God that you accept this invitation. Now, can I ask everyone who follows Jesus in this room, if you are a follower of Christ, can you look up at me? And you guys, this is what we declare at Christmas, that yes, man, Jesus is our Savior, and yes, he is Emmanuel, but he is our King. And so we have the privilege, and can we together, loud and proud, on the count of three, can we declare this truth? You ready? One, two, three. Jesus is Lord. He is Lord, and he is King. He's the King of Kings. That's right. That's right. Would you pray with me? Pray with me. Father, we just want to say thank you so much. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to be our Savior, that you came to be a light in the darkness. Thank you that you came as Emmanuel, God with us. But thank you, God, that you came to be our King, to lead us. You're a good King. You're a King who wants to lead us from our own self-destructive tendencies and into the eternal life that you've called us to live. So Jesus, in these next moments, we want to come to you and we want to bring to you what only a King deserves. We want to give you our worship. We want to give you our allegiance. So these next songs are far more than just singing songs. This is us singing praise to the King of Kings. So we pray these things in your name.